Into the Word of God this morning, I want to return to this theme that we've been looking at, that Easter was not an accident. In the verse that has been forming the foundation of our ministry this morning, Matthew 16:21, we come to those three words, and be killed. Jesus said to his disciples, after they had professed faith in him as the Christ, he says this, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. We hear Good Friday, the, as it were, first day of the Easter break. Those of you who frequent the shops will realize that probably since about Boxing Day, the shops have been introducing Easter eggs and cards with Easter bunnies and spring flowers. Another example of self-indulgence that has been used to distract us from the main messages of Christianity. Christmas, to many people, has got more to do with turkey and the trimmings than it has to do with God becoming man. And sadly, for many, Easter has more to do with death by chocolate rather than it has to do with death by crucifixion and the glorious victory of the resurrection. Now, I want to make it clear. I don't believe that there is any particular spiritual significance in this day. I don't believe that we need to treat Good Friday as if it were some sort of Sabbath. But I do believe it is a good practice at least once a year, and I think we should do it more, but at least once a year to specifically focus our attention on the cross of Christ. And it was for that reason that I asked our brothers this morning to read in stages the events that took place on that day which we call Good Friday. To remind ourselves that we are not saved by the whim of some superior being, but in fact that we have been saved because a man who had been God and was still God, a man was killed. Our text says that Jesus had to go to Jerusalem and be killed. I understand these days that people aren't taught a lot about grammar in schools. Maybe the trend is changing now. But the fact that we have this be in front of the word killed makes it a passive action. It was not something, in effect, that Jesus did himself. It was something that was done to him. The events of Easter tell us that there were other people who were involved in this incredible act. We emphasize the fact that Jesus was a willing Savior. He was willing to give himself. But friends, this morning, on this Good Friday, we must never lose sight of the fact that others were responsible for his death. Religious and political leaders conspired against Christ, the Messiah. And yet, friends, we must not simply look at a human level. I want us to look, even before we look at the events of Good Friday, to look at the way that Jesus prepared in a loving, caring, understanding way for his disciples. This record that we've been looking at in Matthew 16 is one of three occasions over this period of 18 months when Jesus kept saying to his disciples, I have got to go to Jerusalem. In the next chapter, Matthew 17, we read, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. The same happened in Matthew 16, didn't it? Peter was so distressed that Jesus said to him that he was not thinking the things of God. And then on the third occasion, in Matthew 20, four chapters after the one from which our text comes, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Why did I emphasize the word crucified? Because in Matthew 16 and in Matthew 17, Jesus had said, yes, he is going to be killed. That was news enough for these people. They could not put together, how can the Christ, how can the Messiah, how can this one that God is going to send into the world to restore a relationship with him, how can he die? It was bad enough to be told that he was going to die. But Jesus didn't tell them all the facts straight away. It demonstrates the tenderness of our Lord. The fact that he says, this is difficult for you to understand. I'm going to tell you this much now, but there is more to come. And when he mentioned the crucifixion, to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. That's what Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians. Crucifixion and the Messiah were a contradiction. Jesus said that he was going to Jerusalem to be killed, to be crucified. Friends, that is the price of Easter. The death of the Son of God. The death of the God who became man. But who was to blame? We live in a blame culture. It's so often said, isn't it? Where there's blame, there's a claim. So who is to blame for Easter? Well, first of all, I want to show you Jesus this morning as the human victim, or if you like, the victim of humanity. Wednesday evening, we were looking at the fact that the very men who should have been preparing God's people to worship him over this Passover weekend were in fact contriving to nail to the cross, to execute the Christ that God had sent into the world. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, received power and authority through the outpoured Holy Spirit. Do you remember the day of the crucifixion, the night before the crucifixion? Peter had said to his Lord, "I will never leave you. I will never desert you. Everybody else might, but I won't." And yet, three times he denied the Lord. And he was overwhelmed by the grief and by the fear of the circumstances. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter was equipped with the authority of God and addressing probably a very similar crowd to the crowd who were present at the crucifixion. In Acts 2, Peter on two occasions says, "You crucified," verse 23, verse 36, "this Jesus whom you crucified." Jesus looked at the crowd who had bayed for the death of Christ, and he was clear who was responsible. There are times, and we can hide behind fate and fatalism. We don't do it so much in our country, but we certainly saw it in Papua New Guinea, where people are more aware of a spiritual consciousness. They say, oh, a spirit tempted me. She tempted me. He tempted me. They led me astray. But there is no example of that here. Peter was quite clear that the crowd who had worshipped Jesus as the Messiah on the Palm Sunday the week before, they were the ones who were responsible for letting a murderer go free. Make no mistakes, friends. There were three crosses on Calvary. Not for Jesus and two others, from a human angle, but for Barabbas and for two others. That cross had been prepared from a human angle, not for a Messiah, but for a murderer. I don't know whether Barabbas ever came to the point where he could sing it in faith, but he could sing it in truth. In my place, condemned he stood. Barabbas should have been on that cross. But the force of human opinion on that first Good Friday, instead of justice being poured out on a murderer, it was poured out on the only man who walked this earth, who has never sinned. We mustn't forget Pilate either. We read when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus and delivered him to be crucified. Blame is not washed away that easily, friends. And don't forget Judas, the man who many would say was out to make a fast buck. His sheer greed made Jesus a victim of other human beings. The events of Easter show us the vileness of the human heart. Man's inhumanity to man, as it has been said. Many people today would argue, oh, it could never happen again. Such a travesty of justice. Friends, let's just look back over our own lives. Those of us who are older, see the examples of genocide, the Holocaust, the ethnic cleansing of both the 20th and the 21st century. Be careful of losing a biblical perspective in the interest of human tradition. That is what the religious leaders who were responsible for Christ's death did. They said, this is how we want our religion to be. And Christ was a man who seemed to get in their way. So who was to blame? Human beings were to blame. But let's move on. Jesus was the God-given Savior. Jesus was the God-given Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I say this carefully, but I believe I say it biblically. Who was responsible for Calvary? God in Trinity. because God sent his Son into the world. Yes, to live as an example, but not simply to live as an example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the God who became man, went into the presence of his Father, the eternal God, and he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus knew the struggle of Calvary, but he knew that he had to do the will of his Father. God had given, God the Son, God in Trinity had agreed together that God the Son should come into the world in order to redeem lost sinners. And this is the message that God had been introducing throughout the Old Testament. It had started right back in Genesis chapter 3. There was the hint of the promise. By the time we come to the life of Abraham in Genesis 22, there is a clear statement which probably Abraham did not understand the full significance of, but one day he was taking his son to offer him in sacrifice to God because it seemed that is what God wanted him to do. And his son turned to him and he said to him, "Father, behold the wood and the fire, but where is the burnt offering?" Or where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham, as a godly man, as a natural father, was able to answer in faith, but I'm sure with incredibly shredded emotions, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." We thank God that on that day, human sacrifice was not necessary. A ram was provided as a substitute. But friends, that was a declaration of what God was going to do that first Good Friday. God provided the lamb. The lamb who had been prepared before the foundation of the world. Before the world began, God had written the names of the elect and the contract was established in the Trinity. Jesus died because God gave him to die. He died as the required death, the death of a substitute, so that all who believe might go free. But I want to ask a third time, who was to blame for the events of Good Friday? And it can be said that Jesus was to blame. Jesus gave himself to be killed. Verse 26, we see a man, verse 46 of our reading this morning, we see a man who was still in control, even though nailed to the cross. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So how can I say that Jesus was to blame? Jesus was responsible. Well, he was a willing sacrifice. You know that Scripture calls Jesus by various names. And in effect, Jesus was in various roles as he hung upon the cross. One of the first people to declare the truth of who Jesus was his cousin John the Baptist. When he was still preaching, he looked at Jesus one day and he said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus, when he was on the cross, was the Lamb of God, the Lamb promised through the lips of Abraham, the Lamb provided by God. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Friends, this morning, Jesus cares for his people, not in words, not in discussions of a council or a committee. Jesus cares for his people in his actions. He lays down his life for his sheep. The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. But friends, the events of Calvary were not as straightforward as it were suicide. It was not suicide. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Good Shepherd caring for his sheep. But Jesus was also, as he is described in Hebrews 4, a great high priest. He was there in authority. He was leading God's people in worship. And as the great high priest, he offered to God, the Lamb of God. In offering himself, the writer to the Hebrews says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Who is to blame for Good Friday? The Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the shepherd of the sheep, the Lamb of God. Why was it necessary? It was necessary, friends, because of your sin and because of my sin. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. One commentator writing about this great sacrifice says, There is little that is more dangerous to the work of Jesus Christ than someone whose doctrine is correct, but for whom doctrine has not become life. Their creed is right, but their character is not. I want to ask you this morning, have you agreed with everything that I've said? Have you agreed that human beings were responsible for the death of Christ? Have you agreed that God was responsible for the death of Christ? Have you agreed that Christ was responsible for his own death? You've got it all up here. You can explain it. But I want to ask you this morning, is it merely something that you can say, yes, I believe those facts, but you have never come to the point where you have said, Jesus was slain for me on Calvary. Where you have asked him to clear the record of your sin. Because friends, the reality is, your sin and my sin made the sacrifice of Good Friday necessary. Who is to blame? You and I. But we thank God that Jesus was willing to die in our place. Christ was given by God and by himself in order that we might be reconciled to God. Let me ask you, as I close this message this morning, are you reconciled with God? Are you reconciled with others? Are you reconciled with yourself? Let's sing of the love that made Calvary possible. The hymn 242, after we've sung this, there will be a brief